Wake up, y'all. We got Sixers basketball today. Good morning on this day, Friday, October 25th. This is your Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers Update, giving you all the Sixers news you need to know, as well as what to keep your eye on. It's your man, James Jackson, here once again. The Sixers may not have gotten off to the right foot or to the right start to the season, but we have with these daily pods, and I appreciate you guys being here once again, as you have been through all of preseason, training camp, and now through the start of the regular season. Make sure you're following me on Twitter at JimmyJ23 for all Sixers news, for breakdowns pre, during, and post-game during Sixers games, and just a good follow on social media. Don't we all just need a good follow on Twitter? Make sure you're following the pod too, at Clap Your Hands Pod as well, because, you know, a Clap Your Hands Pod is like a culmination of all of us in one place. Me, Elliot, and Jack all sharing our thoughts on that platform. So you're just going to want to follow me. You're going to want to follow the pod. You're going to want to keep it locked. Okay, it's a game day, so you know how we do it on game days. I'll go over the schedule, some injury news for both teams, Sixers and the Raptors. Then I will go over some general news. We'll take a break. On the other side of that break, I get into my analysis and my three things to watch for. So we got tonight in Toronto at 7 p.m., the Sixers take on the Raptors for their first away game of the season after starting the season at home against the Milwaukee Bucks. And then Sunday, 3:30, they play the Indiana Pacers in Indiana. But tonight, we focus on the Toronto Raptors in the six in Drake territory, they say. So Sixers going up north of the border to play the Toronto Raptors. I forgot about scores around the league in the agenda. We're also going to look at some scores around the league. Not too much action last night in the association on Thursday, especially when it has to do with teams that pertain to the Sixers. But the Celtics did beat the Wizards in Washington last night. Celtics got the Wizards 122-102. Jaylen Brown led the way for them with 25 points. So Celtics get out to a 2-0 start on the season. Obviously, number one in the Atlantic, number one in the NBA. A lot of people's favorites to go back to back. The Sixers, are looking to not go 0-2, not start 0-2, start 1-1, and stay on the heels of the Celtics. But the Celtics get a win last night in Washington. All right, to some injury news. Caleb Martin showed up on the Sixers injury report today, listed as day-to-day with a calf contusion. So he's also going to be probable for tonight's game against Toronto. That came up on the injury report yesterday. So look out for later today for Caleb Martin's official game status, but looks like he'll be ready to go. Looks like just has to work out, you know, a little contusion on that calf muscle. We have an update for Paul George as well. Paul George is going to miss these next two remaining games this week for the Sixers as he continues to rehab from that bone bruise. The team announced today that Paul George won't play in tonight's game against the Raptors and Sunday's game against the Indiana Pacers as he continues to, like I said, just work through that injury, work through that bone bruise in his knee. The Sixers also said that he's progressing well through his rehab, and an update will come early next week when they return home after this two-game road trip. So we keep hearing that phrase, right? We keep hearing progressing well. We keep hearing ramp up. We keep hearing doing well. We keep hearing all these things. And then right after it, we hear, but our star's not playing. Or it comes right after they just told us one of our stars isn't playing. So I'm about to add progressing well to that list of terms that make my eye twitch, just because they're starting to get to me. Like, I keep hearing progressing well surrounded by bad news. Before or after bad news, I'm here, but he's progressing well. Whatever, I'll leave it there. Paul George, I'm not going to get too bent out of shape for something that I kind of saw coming after he didn't play in the home opener. I didn't think he'd spin right around and be ready to play in Toronto. So won't get too bent out of shape for it. Paul George not going to play tonight or Sunday. An update will come early next week to see if he plays next week for the Sixers. The Raptors are dealing with a number of injuries of their own, though. However, it hasn't been easy up there in Toronto. Guard Jacoby Walker is out with a shoulder injury. Forward Bruce Brown is out indefinitely right now with a knee injury. Actually went to practice a couple of days ago, was unable to do so, and stays out indefinitely with a knee injury. Emmanuel Quickley is listed as doubtful with a pelvis injury. Hello. RJ Barrett is listed as doubtful with a shoulder injury, and Kelly Olynyk is out with a back injury. So looks like Quickley and Barrett, the two guys they traded for last year in the OG Anunoby trade, are doubtful to go. Everybody else is confirmed out, and Bruce Brown is out indefinitely right now without a timetable to return. So the Raptors, like I said, hobble with injuries themselves. So if there's any team that the Sixers really can't take pity on themselves when they go against, it's the Toronto Raptors. A lot of major key players for them too, missing time. So we will see. As we get closer to game time, the official injury status for all these guys as they become game time decisions. But right now, that is where they sit, the Toronto Raptors, on the injury report. Some news, I'll go through it quickly because, like I said, again, with the Paul George stuff, not something that we weren't anticipating. The NBA has officially began its investigation of Joel Embiid's participation to start the season. Like I said, nothing that we weren't expecting, but still noteworthy that the league is, like, officially and actually going through with this investigation. So they would take a look at just all the context and everything surrounding Embiid not play or playing at the end of the regular season, hurt last year, playing in the Olympics, looking okay, looking good, and then not playing to start training camp, not to play in the preseason, and then not playing in the start of the regular season. So the NBA has officially stepped in, the league has officially stepped in, and you know, we're in their kitchen now. You know, ball is in their court. The more I think about it, the more I do expect some kind of punishment for Embiid and or the Sixers. I'm not sure who gets the punishment, if they both or just the organization will get a punishment, but something I think has to come down at, you know, more than just, you know, may just be a slap on the wrist punishment. But I think the league is going to try to set some example of the Sixers, right? They have a clear initiative when it comes to having their stars play, and especially in marquee matchups on national TV. Embiid is one of the league's superstars, and he didn't play against Giannis on ESPN on opening night, right? The league didn't like that. They're gonna look at that, and they're not gonna like that, especially everything surrounding and the context going on and Embiid not playing. So they're like, look, we're going to take a look at this. We're going to take a look at this. And can I really blame them? Not when I can't really make sense of it myself as a fan and as a person who follows the team, even as an analyst. So it's a little weird. So the league officially, opening up its investigation on Joel Embiid, we eagerly await the results and the updates on that. The Sixers also unveiled their court for the NBA Cup. That's a name for the in-season tournament. I don't know if many people are aware that they've officially named the in-season tournament the NBA Cup. But we know every team designs their court all crazy and, you know, different colors and different designs for these in-season tournament games. The Sixers got a pretty cool one, two tones of blue. The inner main court is one tone, and then the baseline out of bounds and sideline going all the way around the perimeter is a darker shade of blue. You got the stars of the 13 colonies, like around the 76 logo in the middle of the court, and then you have the NBA Cup trophy at center court and on the baseline. So go to the Sixers social media and check it out if you haven't already. Pretty cool court. And if the Sixers can't go get a regular championship, I don't know, maybe they chase an in-season tournament championship. Hang the banner. All right, I'm about to take a break. On the other side of this break, I get into my analysis. Three things to watch for as the Sixers take on the Toronto Raptors in the six. Stay tuned. And welcome back, y'all. TGIF, by the way. You know what I mean? Thank God it's Friday. We all made it. You made it. Congratulations. And your reward is a Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers update with yours truly, James Jackson. Make sure you're following me on Twitter at JimmyJ23. Make sure you're following the podcast as well, Clap Your Hands Pod on Twitter. We're great follows. I'm just saying. All right. Now it's time to get into some analysis and break down tonight's matchup the Sixers have against the Toronto Raptors in Scotiabank Arena in Toronto as they, you know, go for hopefully their first win of the season tonight. And I think the biggest key to that as a team, and one of the biggest keys for the Sixers this season, and I got this as a result of the Milwaukee game, is them coming out much, much stronger. Like them coming out and really establishing themselves, getting going on the offensive end a lot quicker in ball games. I don't think the Sixers can afford to kind of spin their wheels coming out of the gate like they get against the Bucks, against many teams in the NBA. You dig yourself in this kind of a hole against majority of teams in the league, and you bring your chances to slim to none to win basketball games. The Sixers had their two lowest scoring quarters, both in the first half against the Milwaukee Bucks, a 23-point first quarter and a 24-point second quarter. Now, look, if you have your two lowest scoring quarters in the first half, but they were 30-point quarters, right? And your third and fourth quarter, you ended, you know, crazy high, and you ended with a 35-point, a 40-point fourth quarter, fine. Or is if you're winning the game by so much that your fourth quarter scoring doesn't matter so much, and so you drop off, then fine too. But for your two lowest scoring quarters to be in the first half, and they'd be a 23-point first quarter and a 24-point second quarter, that's just not really going to get it done in today's NBA. That's how you fall behind the eight ball a lot. And the Sixers just right now aren't built to kind of overcome deficits like that right now. Not enough scoring with, you know, Paul George and Embiid out right now. So that's what it's going to be. And as much as he struggled against the Milwaukee Bucks now, I know sometimes you might be looking at that scoring output and thinking that, okay, Maxey might have been, you know, really off, and Maxey might have not been scoring. And he did struggle against the Bucks. He did have, you know, his struggles. It was tough sledding for Maxey. And, you know, without his two running mates, his two co-stars, I think it continues to be a little bit of a struggle. But as much as he did struggle against the Bucks, I don't think the slow start is something that we can attest to Maxey in particular. He had about either 15 or 17 points in the first half against the Bucks. It was actually the second half for Maxey that wasn't great. But Maxey came out and you know, did what he tried to do what he could to help the Sixers really establish themselves in the first part of that game against the Bucks. Hopefully the team around him can, you know, pick it up for him, respond for him a little bit and help him out. And they come out of the game much stronger against the Raptors. So that's the first thing I'm looking for, is let's hit the ground running against Toronto tonight in Canada. Second one I'm looking for in my three things to watch for is Kelly Oubre continuing to score. I think one thing that got lost in the sauce, I know for sure, on Wednesday is that Kelly Oubre quietly was second on the Sixers in scoring with 21 points against the Bucks. You know, no one really sang Kelly's praises. I wasn't really looking for people to sing Kelly's praises. There are a lot more things to focus on than Kelly Oubre giving us 21 points, but it is good that Kelly Oubre is sitting in that 20 points, you know, started, I won't say sitting in that, but at least started the season off getting 20 plus. You know, whether we like it or not, the Sixers right now are preparing for life, you know, without their stars for a good portion of the season. However many games that may be is still up for determination. But it's clear that they're not going to be in any kind of rush, or they're not going to stress getting their stars back on the floor unless they have to, unless they're sanctioned by the league to play these guys. If they don't have to play PG and Embiid, or if PG and Embiid aren't 100%, they're not going to go. Kelly Oubre is just going to find himself with a scoring responsibility a lot of times this season. So I think it was good to see what he did against Milwaukee. So he's going to have to step up and score like that, but it's going to have to be consistent. right? 21 points is a good spot for KO to live in. And I think he can hover around that 19, 20, 21, 22 points per game when he's on, right? But we can't really, it's not a good thing if he's doing that one game and then the next night he's coming out not hunting his shot, not being aggressive, not scoring, right? And he's not providing that support to Tyrese Maxey in the starting lineup. I understand that we might not be able to ask too much more of Kelly Oubre on a nightly basis when it comes to scoring, but I need consistent output in the scoring department from Kelly Oubre. He needs to be somebody who the defense respects and can put pressure on the defense in whatever way possible, in as many ways possible, to help his co-star. So he did that against the Bucks. He was able to get a good scoring output, 8 of 18 from the field too, 44%, so shot pretty efficiently. It was just above league average, so shot pretty efficiently. I like that. So it was good. But, of course, there are always things that we can improve. We're always looking to improve ourselves and get better at anything that we do, right? He only shot 1 of 7 from three-point range. That's got to improve dramatically. We cannot be that much of a liability from three on a consistent basis. He's going to have to make the defense respect him from three as well if he's going to help Maxey and he's going to be on that wing, right? Because you got to make the defense, or you got to prevent the defense from helping down so much when Maxey drives. You got to stop the defense from sitting in the lanes and sitting in gaps to try to close off driving lanes for Maxey. You just have to. You have to be someone that makes the defense close out and respect you from three-point range. So, Kelly Oubre, the second thing I'm looking for is for him to score consistently, and let's get a little bit more efficient from three, too, KO, against the Raptors. Third and final thing I'm looking for is not X's and O's. It's not a player. It's how are the vibes going into this game? How are we feeling if we're the Sixers, right? Are we good? Are we ready to play basketball? That's going to be part of the start, right? Is how are the Sixers mentally as a team, right? I know a team full of grown men, and it's not something that's knocked us too much off our pivot, but the past 48 hours have been heavy for the Sixers, and I think you can feel it. You can see it, especially around the organization. Guys like Nick Nurse and Daryl Morey, any question they've been asked has been about PG or Embiid's availability, Embiid's investigation. You know, how do you expect to build cohesion? How do this and that, like all this, all questions about what are you expecting to do? Give us answers. Help us see the silver lining and the optimism in this team. It's a lot, right? And instead of focusing on court product, they've had to focus on narratives and setting the record straight and trying to protect their team and their players from stuff. It's a lot, man. And you build up all this hype for the start of the season and for opening night, and then it gets announced that two of your best players aren't even suiting up, and one of them is being investigated by the league. Like, that's a lot. And for the Sixers fan base, it gives a here we go again vibe. We all know that meme. Oh, here we go again. That's the vibe it gives, right? And you can feel that when you go into the arena. You can feel that if you're a player. And all that chatter, all that talk, all that criticism, it can get distracting. It can get annoying. It can take your mind off basketball. So are the Sixers, have they shaken that off, right? Like, have they been able to kind of refocus themselves and get back to it? Not only that, you kind of get blown out on your home floor, right? So now here come the woes from everybody involved. But now the Sixers get a chance to get away from that. For better or for worse, right? You get out of the area. You get out of the state. I mean, hell, you get out of the country, right? You just go to a whole new place where these problems don't exist in that land. I understand that you can't really escape these problems and what's going on, but for a couple of days, you don't have to live in it, right? People aren't showing up to the arena asking you all these questions. There'll be some reporters, you know, in Toronto, some Raptors reporters too that may want to know what's going on and get a little scoop. But the Philly media isn't out there. The fans aren't out there. It's just basketball for a little bit for some of these guys, right? Go get a dub against the Raptors. Get the weight off your shoulders of getting the first win of the season, and let's reset the vibes. Let's get a little bit more refocused. Let's try to attack the season on a little bit of a better note, right? Because I'll be honest with you guys, right? I'm level with y'all. My fear is that this has been a buzzkill for the team. It is, right? Like, my fear is that guys are now dealing with, one, things that don't have anything to do with them, but two, at the same time, are confusing and distracting to the team, not to mention detrimental to the team's success. Two or three best players, two max guys. So it's I can understand that that's a weight and a burden, but I think they got to do their best to shake it off, go get a win, reset all these vibes. And, you know, a wise man once said, winning cures everything. Well, let's go get some medicine then, hopefully. Three things I'm watching for is the Sixers take on the Toronto Raptors tonight. A strong start coming out of the gates, a lot stronger. Kelly Oubre continuing to score, making him a consistent option on offense, and the vibes surrounding the team, right? Can we just get some good vibes for the Sixers, right? Because they were made for this. I know that was corny. I'm sorry. I'm out of here. It's all the time I have. Make sure you tune in for the Sixers tonight, 7 p.m. as they take on the Toronto Raptors. Have a great weekend, everyone. Be safe. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. And I'll see y'all on Monday.